Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com. Welcome into this very special edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and here's the deal. With the 2017-18 NBA regular season coming to an end, this week, we thought we'd take a look back at the season that was podcast style. Although it was hard to narrow it down to just our top five, we took a stab at it and pulled our favorite moments from the podcast over the last season that we all have grown to love. So we begin with throwing it back to November 30th. In Atlanta, Georgia, Channing, myself, and Rafa are joined by K-Love and D-Wade. In this episode, amidst the usual laughs, we are inspired by, enlightened because of, and simply reminded who these professional athletes are and how their love for many things off the floor become priorities in their life, maximizing their platforms to the fullest.
Who's your wife? This woman.
What's her name?
Gabrielle Union.
Right.
She's very opinionated.
What does she do
so
for
I
a
called
living?
Her this morning. I said, huh?
What does she do?
People might not know. Story, man.
What people might not know.
She's an actress, and okay. amongst other things.
She's very outspoken.
She's an activist.
Right.
She's a humanitarian.
Okay.
She's
a New York Times bestseller.
She's a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. Well, you're giving me points right now, bro.
What's the name of the book? We're going to need more wine?
Yeah. Need more wine.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the name of the book.
That's the name of the book.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, so.
What's up? Is that going to be in the gift basket?
Yeah. the book?
The You Blow gift basket?
No, it's not going to be. It's going to be a basic
gift basket.
Did
you say Hublot again?
It's going to be a basic gift basket made up from like Target, Walmart kind of situation.
Listen, shout out Target.
Stocks. Yeah, shout out. Yo, Target stocks are going to blow up this year. I was looking at it.
Why?
Just because they're just everything else is kind of like trying to figure out where they're going, but Target is like a solid place where everybody goes.
But it's tough right now.
Sorry. Anyway,
I'm like, because online business, because Amazon, look, I'm about to go there with you.
Walmart,
they have Target
online
on Libya.
Right
it's like,
I've never been on Walmart online.
They're taking so much Walmart, business. Libya, I think they have Whole Foods, thing. Right? Or does Amazon have Whole Foods?
Walmart, Libya, same thing. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if you've seen the video. That was posted.
I only seen a picture of the dude with the gun to the guy.
Okay, so it's a video for around about it, and you know, obviously this has been going on for a very, very, very long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Then why is there no way just talking about
it
right now?
Well, it's just a lot of things that's been going on for a very, very long time that people are talking about right now.
Right,
that's the way the world works. So I think kind of looking at the video, I mean, just seeing, you know, obviously the man that was sold in slavery for $400 to $800, are you listening to me?
Yes, I'm listening to you. Okay. Everybody's listening to
me. I mean, just to know that slavery is still going on. And, you know, we in the African-American community talk on it and speak on it a lot, right? And, you know, a lot of people don't even think racism still exists. So, you know, to go from that to slavery still exists is a whole nother animal, a whole nother beast. So the thing is, when you have a platform like a lot of people have that
right.
talks about it. It's bringing awareness to what's going on in the world. It's shining a light on it, and it needs to be. It needs to be people who shines a light on it, bring attention to it, and then from there, try to figure out what can you do to help the cause.
Right.
You know, from there, and I think that's what a lot of people have done, probably yesterday and today.
So, what can anybody do versus that? Like, what can anybody do? Is this legal? That's what I'm asking. Like, so my question is, if somebody were like,
it's known what's going on. Right. They do it in the open public. This is not something that's hidden.
People are Snapchatting.
This is open public, you know, auction. They get an auction in the open public. Like, it's very much known.
Crazy. But what I'm saying is there nothing like, we can do. I know. I saw the post where the guy went down with a 747 and was like, here, let me come get y'all. So is he just getting everybody from Libya? Like, what? Like, how is it going
he's
on?
Getting, think, what? He's getting what? What you mean?
Like, is he just saying, here, I'll buy these slaves here. Now you're free? Like, how is that going about? Like, that's the information I would need.
Well,
like,
I'm not over there. Obviously, looking at the statistics, you know, of it is, you know, obviously the few that's went over there has tried to, you know, to leave.
Right.
They died, right? Yeah. Trying to escape, trying to get out. And just the numbers, the percentage of, they say it's like, what, 700,000 to a million?
What?
Yeah, the numbers are crazy.
That's a crazy number. Yeah, I was
and
thinking,
people try to get out, 50, but it's only 60. Like 2,000. That's you know that's you know, that we know the numbers, either. Right? Yeah. That hasn't made it out that we know. But I mean, we're not there, right? So we don't know. You know, obviously everything that's going on. But this is the way we know what's going on. Is now we start asking questions. Now you start putting awareness on it. Now you know they have people have to answer questions from the ones you ask. So that's kind of the process right now. What's going on?
Here's my question.
Yeah.
To all three of you. Because you speak about this platform that you have. And social media is one of the quickest and easiest ways to get your voices out there or to get your stances out there, correct?
Yeah.
How much do you guys do, though, outside of a post, which draws so much attention in general, how much do you guys then act mm-hmm. in terms of really creating more change?
Yeah. Well, I think it, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think it, for me, it depends on, I'm not going to jump behind and get behind everything that's been done in the world, right? For me, it's got to be something that hits home, mm-hmm. you know, something that, you know, I feel really hits me here in the heart. And then, you know, first of all, you want to find out information on what's going on. Then you want to get behind it and bring awareness to it. And then from there, the people who brought awareness to it, the people that you know, then you try to get together with them and see what you can do that's impactful. And that can really, you know, really take a stand and really make a powerful movement. Like the Trayvon Martin thing that we did when I was in Miami. It's really, you know, we decided to get together, take pictures in the hoodie, and, you know, and start that movement. And then from there, now it was about I got on calls with his lawyers. I got on call with his family. They came to Miami. We flew, you know, we brought them down to Gang. We sat down. We spoke to them about what can we do more? How can we further this? So it's about taking that next step outside of just, you know, posting a video. Social, anybody could post a video or a photo. But it's, if I put my name on something, then, you know, especially with my wife, it's going to be a next step.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, with that next step, what are we doing? So this is definitely something that we don't want to go away. You know, it's definitely something that we want to figure out, you know, how can we, you know, what can we do more so than anything? Because no one has answers yet.
No, but I mean, like when it comes to like social issues and stuff like that, it's like, man, it's crazy how you have to sift through so much BS, man. It's amazing where like somebody be like, hey, Channing, this is a great cause. Look at this. And you look at it on the surface. And then I have great people who like dive into it. Hey, can we get this information? So if I give you $100, how much of that $100 goes to what you're saying? You know, how much of it goes to like, you know, to the people? And then all of a sudden you start looking, you start doing things. And it's like, oh, 10%? Where's that other 90 go?
Well, it's like with what J.J. Watt did in Houston. He was taking all that money, and he made sure that firsthand that money was going to the people.
That's the only way to do it.
Because he didn't do like Red Cross or someone like that.
No, that's the only way to do it. Nobody needs, it's like, hey, volunteer your time so I don't have to pay you for your time, right? And then just give me the money and then go about it, right? That's how things should be done. But
it's tough.
It ain't done like that.
It's tough because you want to get behind so many things, but, you know, a lot of people don't know how to do it. You don't know who to trust, right? To get behind it. So, you know, you always, like, for me, I always try to find the right group in the city that's doing something that I know is doing something, and I try to do that with them. Like, I don't donate my money to Red Cross. I think I did that one time, and like, you feel like, well, what happened? Yeah. What impact was made? Yeah. You don't feel like any impact was made. So for me and my team, we try to find who's doing something in the city. Right. Yeah. And we try to make sure that that's where, you know, the things are going to. That's why my money is going to and stuff, everything. So we know and we get to see what change is being made. You know, more so than just donate money to a cause through Red Cross.
Yeah.
But I think also by you guys getting involved and posting on social media, you get us involved. For example,
the reach is so long.
Victoria Brown, you know, that girl who was put in jail for murdering the guy who was a raper.
Yeah. Exactly. That's crazy.
But then you learn about the story. She's been in jail for 9 years.
Right.
And just now we're finding out.
Yeah.
So it you know, at least now that everybody has been posting about it, people are speaking. At least the people that can make a change about the situation get involved. Yeah.
But that's where social media is so powerful. I mean, you're able to elicit change. I mean, you guys have guys like D. Wade or Channing or myself and a number of guys on this team.
Y'all got millions.
No, but still, your reach is still far.
Dude, the power of
bro,
the
don't
nerd,
don't be counting
dog.
My money, bro. Don't be in my pockets, bro. You'll know what I got, all
right? It says it right there. You want me to look it up right now?
I'm playing for the minimum this year. Don't
do you want
that.
Me to look it up? Listen.
I'm playing for the minimum.
He's talking about medium followers.
We're not talking about that.
He said what?
Oh, okay.
How many does road trip?
You said you got millions. You talking about followers?
Yes.
Oh, I'm about to say, don't be in my pockets, bro.
Oh no, followers. Followers.
Oh yeah, we got a Listen, we got a few
you
followers.
You made more than what I made.
Yeah, we got a few followers.
You know what? I'm
not
even going to go there.
We're not talking about money, bro.
Well, we're definitely not talking about money because your boy.
I just want to know one thing. While we on the money subject, yeah. Are you ever going to pay for dinner when we go to dinner?
First of all, you weren't here last year.
I will
year.
Say, this Channing, is a new Channing season.
Nah, I paid for a lot.
We're not talking about last year, bro. This is a new year.
No. When I first got here, y'all hoodwinked me, and I was like this. I feel so bad. This is so good. Dinner. Man, listen.
So are you going to answer my question? Involved? This season, with the new team that we have, are you going to pay for dinner?
What city are we in? Atlanta? Maybe. No,
you go. What he's going to do is going to look and see what he ate and try to put his little $57
that's
out there.
That's
what you do.
Dead ass serious.
Are you like that?
No.
He tries to save as much as that per diem as he possibly can.
Man, listen, I don't like going to the ATM, man. I feel like people are going to creep up on me, dog.
I'm with you.
The ATM,
you
unless it's one of them locked doors.
Channing, would you be someone that...
It's called going to the bank, bro.
Right?
I do go in the bank, but then he'd be like, ooh, you're taking money out again? Ooh. I feel so judgy.
It's your money.
Right. I know, but I feel like I feel judgy.
Judgy says the person that buys the most expensive water at the gas station.
Yeah.
So PG
or nothing,
homie. Get that pH level right.
What? You're not going to put no smart water in my body unless smart water wants to give it to you for free.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Channing's free stuff mantra in life to our milestone episode, if you will, episode 50 with J.R. Smith was golden. We dive into fatherhood with the guys, and so as Swish awaits the arrival of his fourth baby girl, what is it that Swish loves about being a daddy to all girls, do you recall? From video games to how many tattoos he has on his body, how about that, do you remember? That and, of course, the most important question per Channing.
So, J.R., let's ask important questions.
Okay.
Oh, here we
How
go.
Mad are you that you're sitting here and not golfing? Because your eyes have been straight out that window.
Actually, I'm not mad at all. You know, surprisingly for me, I only play like 8 or 9 times this summer.
Golf. Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, one, you got married.
Oh, mistake. Keep going.
Mistake.
You were in Mexico for 3 weeks.
I'm saying mistake one. Mistake one on the why you're killing your golf game.
I got 3 girls at home.
So man.
4 on top of my wife. I got 2 bulldogs. I had to make boys. You know, just so I'm not alone.
You know, it's tough because I can't relate to that because I have 2 sons.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I'm with you.
What's your favorite thing about raising girls?
My favorite thing, they're always going to be daddy's girls.
Yep.
So no matter what. I can
never leave me.
I can literally walk out and walk back in, and it'd be like the first time they see me.
It's the best.
Aww.
It's amazing.
Yeah. When Richard's so old, and he's like, little RJ, little Richard,
like,
come
on. Dad, go to the home.
Good. Yeah.
Dad, how did you get out the home?
It's so funny. Marco. The one thing that guys with only girls talk about is how much, like, oh, well, my daughter's going to take care of me. You realize that at some point in time, she's going to be married, and her husband's going to be like, really? This old motherfucker again? Your pops is coming again?
I'll tell you one thing. He better have a bankroll.
Yeah.
He better
have a guest house.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
For
look,
sure.
What's up? 5 bedrooms?
You know what else is great about girls? I could sit there, like, I'm a huge video gamer. I'm a gamer. Like, you know, so
That's a bold statement, but keep going.
I play video games 8 hours out of the day.
What?
Easily.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. What's your game you're on right now?
I'm on 2K right now.
What's your gamer tag?
Don't do that. No. Don't do that.
I've done that before.
That's a setup.
Oh my God.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
People talk reckless.
Not only reckless, but like the amount of friend requests you can get in 10 minutes.
We don't have that many people listening.
It's ridiculous. Not even close.
Okay. So
Wow. Hold on. Breaking news.
The last time we did this thing. Count to 10.
No. Breaking news. Ezekiel Elliott's suspension reinstated after court's ruling. Rafa, that doesn't mean for you to check your phone.
Just for JR, he's a big Cowboys fan.
You're a Cowboys fan, and I have Ezekiel Elliott on my fantasy league, as do most people.
And for our listeners, we're going to get back to why girls are so great because you're a gamer, but you can continue.
Oh yeah, she does this. It's tough for me because I don't know because I only make boys. I don't know if I'll ever get to truly experience why girls are so great.
Well.
So they
that
truly.
Just your sperm
so wait, what? Wait. You play video games and they just sit there with you. They just hang with you.
No, actually, they leave me alone. They leave me alone. Let me be.
Because it's boring.
No, because they're cool. It's stuff. Like my daughter will be just. She just wants to. She'll color while I play. So I'm like, yeah, Lauren, I'm taking care of Margo, and she's like down there coloring. Singing a song.
First of all, they're in their own world. They're the princess or the queen of their own world for sure.
Every day.
And then. After 2 hours, or not even that, maybe an hour. Daddy, you want something to drink? You want some chips? You want something? No? Yeah. Okay. No, I'm good, babe. Thank you. Appreciate it. And then just leave me alone for another hour and come back.
Daddy, you're a little child.
Like, seriously.
Because the fact that he can sit there and play video games and they let him do that, it says that they're obviously independent, but they like to just be in your presence.
Right.
But they don't need your attention.
Exactly.
They just want to be in the same room.
Yes.
Yeah, but now, they care. Boys are completely different than that.
Boys, we got like, hey, Little Richard, what are you doing? Get out of there.
Can I tell you something about Little Rich? When we were recording this summer, I went down to the basement and Richard was helping his wife and the other one upstairs, Phoenix, and Little Rich literally looked at me, ripped pages out of a book, threw a remote, threw two like stainless steel coffee things.
But the best thing is that he's staring at her the whole time. These are things I know I'm not supposed to do.
And then I dare you to say something.
It's like, you're going to get me in trouble. You're going down with me.
But then I went to like pick up the book and I went to grab his hand after the next one. And then he would just run and go under the coffee table. And then you can't get him.
No. He's mischievous at a high level.
And he laughs.
And he laughs at you.
I wonder where he got it from.
Richard's son. I have never seen a kid so small, so fast in my life.
Oh, he's fast.
Like, my kids are ginormous and naked. My kids are like tired after watching him run.
Oh, yeah.
The hallway down the queue, this boy is, he gone. Shoo!
Yeah.
And like, listen, he kind of bow-legged too. And he's gone, dog. He's tracked. That boy need to run marathons. You could be like, Lil Rich, there's a ball 6 miles down that way. He could be like, ball. Boom.
The best thing that ever happened was that he's addicted to basketball because that allows him to wear himself out. But if it was like something else with that amount of energy, oh, there'd be issues. There'd be legit.
He's not going to be a painter.
No.
Has he shown signs of jumping, of having the jumping ability that you do?
Well, he's got big calves already, which is weird for a 2.5-year-old, but...
he has like a fat six-pack.
He just is like I have a video. I showed it to you, right? Where so he's laying in the bed and there's video of him. And whenever he plays basketball, we're like, if he makes it, we're like, ooh, almost, good try, blah, blah. Or if he makes it, we're like, yay, good job. So he's sitting there watching the game. And I told Mike Breen, because he just did our game. And so you're watching the video and he's laying in bed and Mike Breen's commentating on the TV because all he wants to watch is basketball and play is basketball. So you watch on the TV and you have the Mike Breen talking. It's Mike Breen. It might be like Van Gundy or whoever. So it's like, oh, yes, pass to J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith back to Kyrie up for the jumper. Oh, no good. And then he just goes, almost. And then it's like, it'll keep going. Then he's like, yay. So he now just associates like making a shot, missing a shot with almost. I showed you the video because he's just sitting there locked in and just all of a sudden he just goes into a cheer when somebody misses. And you're just like, I'm so proud, but this really kind of trips me out a little bit.
Okay, back to my important question. JR, what was your first tattoo? And then when did you say, screw it, I'm just going to get yatted up?
Yatted.
My first tattoo actually was the...
the Jordan?
Actually, it was not Jordan.
Have Jordan on your body?
Oh, no, he's got the 23. He's got the 23. He's got the 23.
This is my number in high school. I wore 23.
Why'd you wear 23?
And you should know these shoes because you wore them.
Oh, no, I can't see.
It's not a very good tattoo.
Yeah, it was old.
What is it?
They're supposed to be the Shocks.
Oh, those are the Shocks.
Yeah, so
that's an underneath spot, but yeah.
So that was Vince.
We called them the Boings. Remember the commercial?
Boings, yes,
the Boings,
for sure.
You remember the commercial?
Sure.
Like, yo, the Boing. So I was at Arizona, and there was like, when we found out that they were sending them to us, I was like, yo, the Boings are here. We're getting the Boings. And people were like, what the hell are the Boings?
I hooped a nose.
They were so fucking terrible.
So bad for
them. They were the worst.
They were trash. They were trash.
They were so discontinued. They were the biggest thing for like 5 years. Gone.
When I tell you
like,
the worst.
Yeah, you're wearing heels.
That was the worst.
With no bounce in it, though.
None.
Out of all the shoes that are supposed to, like, the Boings, no bounce in those.
Oh, they were awful. They were the awful shoes. Man. I used to kill them. Allie's looking at us again. Like,
what shoes
do you know,
are you talking
about?
About
the Nike Shocks. You know about
what
the
year,
Nike Shocks.
What year did
the
they
Shocks.
Come out?
They came out in probably.
I was in high school.
Yeah,
they had the little. They were like the four. Like prongs underneath the shoe, and they were supposed to like absorb. They were terrible.
So wait, how old were you when you got your first tattoo?
15. I was 15, and I wanted to get one, but I wasn't like sold on it because actually, what creeped me out is people that looked like me when I was a kid. Like I was like, "There's no way I'm getting tattoos. I like that. This guy's got tattoos all over him." Da 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 da. And my sister was like, "Yo, let's get a tattoo." I'm like. Yeah, first of all, mom and pops are not going to let that happen. And two, what are we getting tattoos for? So she got a tattoo
the commercial that I did with Vince was for the Nike Shocks,
I remember that, obviously.
Yeah, that was a great
So spot. Do you know how many you have?
I counted
full body.
Yes, three.
You don't have any on your legs.
Yeah, he does.
You do?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, you never see him because of my sleeves, but or my tights. But yeah, I count as three. I got from my waist
say,
up.
People say they're two, addictive. I don't think three. You would agree with that.
What is the worst spot to get them?
The worst
ribs,
spot?
Ribs.
No, your shin.
What about your? Yeah. You have one on your shin?
Yeah.
Dude, he has yatted.
What
up.
About on your neck?
Nah, that's easy.
What?
Yeah, because I mean, where there's bone, that's the part that hurts the most.
Bone and skin, not good
at all.
Ugh.
Bone and skin is bad. Fat, fat,
fat is amazing. Yeah. Yeah. You're good.
Tattoo my ass all you want.
Wow.
That's actually kind of smart.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
You get a tattoo on your ass.
It's like chiseling. Oh my god.
So edit that.
Yeah. No, don't edit that. Channing wants a tattoo on his ass.
No, I said
you get a butterfly, Channing. Get
right.
a back
maybe
tattoo.
A lower back.
Dolphins.
Yeah. Get an arrow
first
sign.
First of all, dolphins okay, my favorite.
He's going to get an arrow, he's gonna get an arrow
what
sign.
What kind of dolphin? There's a bunch.
There's a bunch of different dolphins? I didn't know that.
There's dolphins.
Porpoises.
Yeah.
Don't start
like
that.
I think there's
Channing. We're going down a route that we should.
Okay,
there's different types of dolphins.
Here's a real question that everybody wants to know. Do you drink Henny?
No.
Well, there you have it. Now it's time to take my favorite sharp left. I ask you to think about something. Could you imagine ever doing 10,363 straight reps of something over a period of time? I'm with you. I couldn't either. But Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns lifer and future Hall of Famer, he can, and he did. However, instead of talking success, incredible success, on the field, we traveled off as he and Channing talked everything barbecue and tortillas. Yes, let me just stop right there.
Now we're talking.
Mission?
Yeah.
Right?
Mission Barbecue?
Where's that barbecue at?
The good restaurant in Parma and Canton.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, you got to get me in with the Cavs. We can cater your after game meals.
Ooh.
Yeah, you guys would love it.
And our flight meals?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you guys want. We got lots of food.
I know, but we have like somebody vegan. We have somebody. How about this? Cater my food. How about that?
I would like that better than some of the Chick-fil-A we get sometimes.
Chick-fil-A barf.
Just kidding. I love you, Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A.
I'm a big Chick-fil-A person, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I love it, except that, it's like in Atlanta, I usually go in the gym before the game. So when I get pregame, I like to have a healthy meal. And we get to the media dining in Atlanta, and all it is a box of cold Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Like, I don't mind Chick-fil-A, but when it's cold,
yeah,
and it's just a cookie and a bag of chips, that's the media dining.
Oh, you should ask him for the Cobb salad at Chick-fil-A with, like, the avocado dressing.
Ooh.
Oh, it's outstanding. Oh, it really is. With the grilled chicken. It's unbelievable.
I can't go to Chick-fil-A and not get a spicy chicken sandwich.
I mean,
they're warm. Fries.
Yes. Hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In Atlanta, in the media room, they'd like stacked against the wall and they just give you a box.
Just, here. Yeah, these are leftovers. That's grossy.
I crushed those boxes.
You were eating it in the plane on the way back.
I'm angry.
Disgusting.
So what do you guys cater after games? I'm really interested. If you guys have a lot of vegans, like, how do you replenish your proteins?
Like Derek Millender, so those guys eat like crazy. So they eat all type of like beans and oatmeal and they have their stuff dialed in. And then most of the time we eat pretty healthy. Like
it's catered from in-house.
Yeah, the in-house stuff after game. Cleveland is really, really good. Like,
Shout out to Armac.
Dude, yeah, I'm a big barbecue guy during the summer, but I can't. Like, the hardest thing I've ever tried to cook was a brisket, and I absolutely ruined it.
Oh, really?
It was like, I was like doing the YouTube thing. Like,
oh, yeah. You're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Can't wait. And
call the neighbors over.
It looked like a crusty turd when it was done. Like, I was like, this is too bad. Give me a pork butt. I put it on the Traeger. Some ribs. I'm good.
You're a grill master. You like to grill, right?
I don't know
about
that. You know, I'm jealous that you've got a Traeger because I've never gotten that far, but I like doing steaks and chickens and pork tenderloins and stuff and lamb chops on the grill. Yeah, but I'm not good at like the smoking and like the long stuff.
Oh,
I haven't figured that out
yet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that takes a long time. You got to have the right temperature and the right smoke for a long time.
Dude, my buddy Joe Williams, he actually works for Fox, I think, still in L.A. And then he's the one that got me into like ribs and stuff like that. Oh. So like, and then everyone like, when my dude, ribs are so good.
I love ribs.
Yeah,
but tell me more.
Like, but during the summer, it's like, well, okay, I still gotta try and stay skinny. But what can I eat a lot? Oh, protein.
Yes. That's right.
Just so you know, carbs just sitting out there. You know, watch the family in the pool. I sit, play music, and sit by the grill, have a few adult beverages. You know, talk some shit, play some cards, and then just make sure like I'm. You know, I got like a regular grill, almost like a Green Egg type thing, and I got my Traeger. So like I'll put it on the Traeger first and then put it on the grill and just let it sit there for like 6-7 hours. Mm. Oh, man, so good.
You're
so,
what's your rib secret?
It's not really a secret, but it's more like I like to let my ribs sit overnight. Like, so like I'll
put cook it, overnight
no,
or
no, no,
before
like,
you cook
before
them?
Before I cook them.
Like marinate them?
Yeah, yeah. Keep the seasoning on them and then do that. And like my steak – like I like skirt steak because it's like easy to make like tacos and stuff like that. But I put it right on the coals.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't put it on the grill. I put it right on the coals. And
like
wrap
like
it in
touching
tinfoil.
The coals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like touching the coals. Yeah, yeah.
I've never made that before.
Yeah, so it's
like
the coals. Yeah, yeah. So you take a skirt steak, you like season it up, you let it sit out for an hour until it starts to sweat.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you throw it right on the grill, right? For like, you know, however you want, medium, rare, medium, whatever. And then you could tell, and then you wrap it up for a certain amount of time, and it still continues to cook. And then if you want, like, the grill marks, you want to get fancy, then you throw it on the grill. Then you chop that up.
I'm taking notes over here. Right. Say that again?
Yeah, dude. Just go to YouTube. Be like, skirt steak right on the thing.
Do you grill at Mission Barbecue?
So Mission Barbecue, everything is cooked in these giant smokers they have in the back.
Yes.
It's all overnight. They cook with red oak logs.
Yeah.
And it's each machine is like $250,000, and there's two of them in each store. Right, and it's got a rotating rack that like they
cooks
put like
everything.
20 ribs on. And the next rack is like 20 briskets, and the next rack is like 100 chickens, and then it just cooks, you know, however long, like the brisket's like 18 hours, I think, and
brisket,
the ribs are like 12
what's
hours.
What's it called? Mission?
Mission Barbecue,
check it out.
Yeah, so it gets that beautiful smoke flavor, and it's perfectly temperature controlled. It's kind of like a Traeger.
Yeah,
where
what kind of sides y'all got?
So the sides are amazing.
Yeah.
So our baked beans, we put the brisket trimmings in there.
Tight.
To give it like that little extra deliciousness.
Okay.
And the green beans, we put bacon of course, ooh, chunks obviously. In there, which is amazing. Perfect. And then we got really good cornbread and French fries and
mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese is awesome. We put like these little crumbly crispies on top of the mac and cheese. That just gives it a nice crusty texture on top.
So what made you be like, listen, I love this so much, I'm gonna buy a restaurant.
So I just totally stumbled into it. When I was a rookie in the NFL, I signed with Under Armour.
Right, right.
And the guy that signed me was from Wisconsin.
Right.
And him and I just became friends. And then after about 5 years, he cashed in his chips at Under Armour.
Right.
And then just retired. You know, he was just living on Easy Street.
Right, right.
But he always had this passion for barbecue, and he knew he wanted to do something. Right. You know, he was a young guy. So he met a former executive at Outback, and they came up with this idea.
Bloomin' onions.
Yeah. They came up with this whole idea for a fast casual barbecue joint because they didn't think there was really anything like that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so about 4 or 5 years ago, they started the first store in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he'd always been telling me, hey, when I open this restaurant, I would love you to be a partner.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad was in finance, and he did restaurants and stuff. And he always said, whatever you do, if you make money in the NFL, don't invest in a bar or a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like everyone loses money.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm in the back of my head, like, I'm doing exactly what my dad said don't do. I'm investing in a restaurant. But it's been a lot of fun, and I've been able to eat a lot of good barbecue. So even if we don't ever make any money, I'm still really happy.
Yeah, you get to.
Free food.
Free food.
Would that be your go-to genre of food? Barbecue? Is that your favorite?
I would say I love food. So three. So the one thing I can never turn down is pizza.
Okay.
I think that's kind of universal. Yeah. The one genre I would eat every day, every meal for the rest of my life is Mexican food.
Oh, all right. My God.
And then and
burritos for life, dog. You can wrap anything in a tortilla and it's delicious.
It totally is. That
see?
Is so correct.
See?
I
you
said that actually.
Said that.
Oh, you stole it from me.
No, that's my mantra.
Tell me, what did you say? Tell me one thing that, or if someone can tell me what cannot be wrapped in a tortilla. Or something like that. You said on CavHQ.
I don't think anybody came up with something you can't put in a tortilla and make it better. Tortilla just makes it mobile.
Yeah.
It's the delivery device. You know, it just makes it clean and mobile, and so you don't have to use utensils.
Exactly.
Okay, and three is what?
Barbecue. Barbecue's not good for breakfast.
No.
Sometimes you're not feeling it for lunch, but like for dinner.
But sometimes like small barbecue. I've had some really good brisket and eggs.
I could do that.
Brisket. But like put brisket, eggs, but like and then a hash brown and you wrap it in a tortilla.
Oh man. Oh. Boom. So you're putting all three together.
Exactly.
Boom.
What kind of tortilla?
Oh my God.
So that's the real question.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like a regular flour.
No, like flour or corn.
Oh, flour.
Flour.
Yeah. You can't have like the corn tortilla is more for like fish.
Cold or warm?
Oh, warm. You got to throw it on the burner. You got to directly on the burner until it gets one bubble and then flip it until it gets that bubble goes up. And then that's good. Yeah.
It's a crime against humanity to not heat up your tortilla before you put your stuff in.
So when you're talking tortilla, you're talking wrap.
Yeah. Like
not thick tortilla.
No. Like
you got to come to my mom's home and try the thick tortilla.
The thick tortilla? Yeah, listen. Like, we just got
flour,
the regular.
But thick.
We got the white people tortillas. Yeah, we got the white people
tortillas. We have our version of tortillas, which is used like a bread.
Yeah.
Instead of a loaf of bread, we just use the tortilla.
Oh, and then you just you cut break it off and you eat it with
whatever you're eating, either meat or rice, whatever you're eating. It's kind of like a side.
Yeah.
Like a side scoop.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, tortilla is tasty. A flour tortilla is really tasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For
those who, a lot of food talk and number talk, because I want to go to the next 1, 2, 3 that you have out there in this world.
Oh man.
I'm just going to go on record and say that you're one of the most fun guys to follow on social media on Twitter.
Thank you.
So if you're not following Joe Thomas, it's at Joe Thomas 73.
Oh, thanks for the pub.
Anytime.
I'm a follower right now.
I follow already.
And 4 days ago, it's your pinned tweet right now. Man. You said things I hate in this world in order are 1, losing. Okay. Obvious. 2, I told this to Channing and he was like, what? Drapes. Explain.
I'm having a hard time talking about it. I'm sweating over here. Just
I thought it was just me. Dude, I'm so sweaty.
Dude,
that's because you have 5 layers on.
So we're remodeling our house in Wisconsin right now, and there's no drapes on the windows in the main level.
Oh.
So the decorator's like coming in, let's put drapes up here. You know, we got these big, beautiful windows. It has a gorgeous view with the sunlight coming in. And we're going to spend, $2,000 to cover up the sunlight and make the whole place look like a cave.
You know what else tastes good, Joe? Victory. And if I must say so myself, episode 73 with Harrison Barnes and Richard Jefferson taking us on a trip down memory lane of the 2016 NBA Finals, it doesn't get any sweeter than this. If you haven't already, I encourage you to dive in. But first, here is your sneak peek as to why. That is up until game 5.
The first two series, you know, we were not playing well. I think there was some stat in the Portland series. It was like, we'd only led by like, for like 8 minutes the entire series. I mean, they had been up in each and every game, and we battled back. You know, and Steph was battling injuries, so, you know, things didn't really come together until...
No, I'm trying to get her to open the bottle of wine. I'm sorry. Yeah. God, and the opener's right here. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, geez, yeah. These Cleveland people can't stay off the wine.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's the alcohol.
Anyway.
Continue.
Yeah, no. Yeah, go Cleveland podcast. Under my name.
Yeah. So then, you know, the first two series don't go well, and then we run up against OKC, and that's when things got
dicey. Thick.
Yeah.
So you guys go down 3-1, right?
Yeah.
I know that's not the best, like, number, but you guys go down 3-1, and what's going on? What's going through you guys' head? You guys are the defending champions. You're down 3-1.
Yeah, and even just leading up to that point, after you've had the season you've had, to start all of a sudden playing these series and not be playing, to your point, good basketball, like, what mentally is going through your head through all this?
I mean, mentally, you're just trying to, it's not stay sharp, but you're trying to maintain that same edge, that same, like, zeroed in focus that you had the year before, right? Because the year before, it's like everything's new. Everything, you know, first time going to the second round, first time going to the Western Conference Finals, first time going to the finals. Like, everything's a brand new experience. This year, you're kind of like, you know, won the first two series. Maybe this team will lay down. Maybe we can get past them. And then all of a sudden, you're in a situation where, you know, I don't mean this in any type of,
no, you can please be disrespectful,
you know, offense, you know, RJ or anything like that. But, you know, my opinion is that OKC was probably the best team in the playoffs that year. I mean, they were rolling. And, I mean, we just, you know, we didn't have an answer for them. I mean, if Klay doesn't have that 40, crazy.
In game 6, right?
Game 6. I mean, if he doesn't have that just crazy game, I mean, you know, they're going to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that team, I mean, the way they were built, I mean, they were on. Rebounding, scoring, I mean, they were doing it all.
They did it all, yeah.
No, that was it. Okay. So you guys win that series, right? You win that series. You guys come back. And I'm going to be really honest. We wanted OKC. Right? but this is why. This is why. And I'm going to tell you, your Def lineup, that was a special lineup. It was one of the special lineups in the history of the game of basketball. Like, it was. Elite shooters, you know, switching everything defense, great size. You guys did a good job of hiding Steph, like when you would switch onto a big and then you would switch out so he could get back onto a small. Right? Like, that's I'm not saying anything when I say hide Steph, so anybody that wants to screen it. But that was part of it.
I mean, Andre and Draymond were also really unique in the fact that, like, Andre is a much more versatile defender than I think people give him credit for.
And same with Draymond.
Draymond's able to literally play center.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's on both sides. Talk about that a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, it's unique. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Just in that lineup.
The basketball IQ that is needed for that. Yeah. Like, you can't have one guy that's floaty. You need to have five guys that have an extremely high IQ, and you guys did.
Exactly.
So, but part of the this is the reason why we wanted OKC, and it has. And one, your Def lineup was special, but the reason why we wanted OKC is because we had shooting bigs. So Kevin, Channing, right? Like, your Def lineup eliminates them, right? Yeah. Eliminates that advantage of, like, okay, you got to have a big that's picking in the role. Now they're closing out to Bron. Or, I mean, now they're, when Bron and Kyrie drives and the bigs help, now you're closing out to Channing, who's a dead-eye shooter. You're closing out to Kevin Love. Those are the advantages that are completely taken away when you have five guys that are switching small, so there is no advantage given. Like, a pick and roll, now you guys just switch it, and then you just adjust behind the ball.
Exactly.
So that's why we wanted OKC.
Mm.
We would have blasted OKC, right? because you guys didn't have bigs that could shoot that way, right? Like, that's not what your advantage was. Our advantage was, like, we were shot the ball. And anybody that wants to talk shit, go look at the Atlanta series, right? When we broke the NBA record for, like, three-pointers made in a game, three-pointers made in a half, three-pointers made in a series.
And well, even we, Toronto series.
And Toronto series, right? Like, we were, because our versatility, like, if you guys want to go small, you could go with me, Deli, Bron, Kyrie, JR. Like we had a ton, Shump. We had a lot of small. Yeah. But if you wanted to go big, we had two of the best shooting bigs in the league. Channing is probably the best shooting five, if you don't want to say like Dirk, right? Probably Dirk and him. Yeah. And then Kevin is one of the best shooting fours in the game. So it was like our advantage and versatility was one of the things that helped us. So we get you guys. You guys bust our ass those first two games. Oh, it was like child abuse out there. Honestly, it was child abuse out there. And
game three was a missed opportunity
for you guys.
For us, that was the game where.
But we blasted you guys. We blasted you guys game three.
But we didn't come out with the same. We weren't the same team in game one and game two. We were like, oh, we're up 2-0. Maybe you know.
We can take it. Yeah.
You're right. You guys did not come out with the same intensity, and we came out like gangbusters. Like we came out like.
Because you knew
this
that was
not happening.
Kevin was out.
Well, exactly.
So Kevin was out with a concussion. So I got the start. So we kind of, I want to say, we kind of slowed.
Ellie, you heard that? He just said, you know, I was starting, so I was the difference.
I didn't say I was the difference. I was
more. I subtly heard
don't
that.
You just love how he like walks? He like thinks he's walking around subjects, but he's actually just going like straight for it.
Like, he's like, I mean, Kevin played games.
He's like, no offense, too, but you know,
when
here
he was
we
out,
go.
I stepped in, and I mean, we blasted you guys. But go ahead.
Let me know when you guys are done. No. Again, everything's leading into a story, right? And so, I'm saying so.
We're going to get there.
It helped us adjust to the deaf lineup because now we have a small and Tristan being the five, right? Tristan is basically like a Draymond on the defensive end, right? Where he can switch 1-5 on the defensive end.
Come on, man.
What? T-Top cannot switch 1-5?
You going to say Tristan's the same defender Draymond is? Come on, man.
I'm not. I said he is like that, right?
Like
that. I'm saying we can switch 1-5. It gives you that option. Okay, I'm not saying he's the same defender as Draymond. I'm not going to disrespect. But it's like the same thing. Look, Draymond has a lot of abilities, but T-Top's ability to get offensive rebounds, T-Top's ability to get to roll and get dunks. Everybody has their own special.
Okay.
But the ability to switch 1-5. Right?
Yeah.
That's a little different when you have Kevin and Tristan out there trying to do it, or Kevin and or Channing and Tristan, or, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different.
Yeah.
Dick. So, but I'm saying, so we get that win. It was a missed opportunity. Like, you guys did not come out with the same fire, and we came out pissed off.
Yeah.
Right? We had just got beaten by the most points anybody had ever had in the first two games of the series. You guys, whatever. I don't care about you guys. So, game four. We're up 8 in the third quarter, and you guys battle back. You guys kind of started to get your fire back.
Yeah.
You guys fought back, and that for us was the missed opportunity. Like for us, we looked at that as a missed opportunity. Yeah. Like we were. I was furious. Like I remember sitting in the room, and Griff was in there, our GM, and Cobra, who's our equipment manager. I'm sitting in there, and he was just like, how the fuck did we give that away? I was like, dude, we made some mistakes, and you guys were special because even if you do it right, you can still score because, like, you guys have so many just elite players. And it's like, even if you do it right, like, you're one of the few teams, and we made mistakes, which killed us. So, you know, there was that little tussle at the end of the game, and I didn't think anything because Draymond had already been kicking people in the nuts and shit like that. He'd already been doing that. So,
come on, man.
What? So 2 days between the finals, right? First game, first day, we get this thing that says people are reviewing the tussle that Draymond and Bron had got into.
Mm-hmm. I mean, after the post-game press conference, of course they would.
What do you mean after the post-game press conference?
Come on, man.
Talk to
me. There was way too much time spent about that incident in y'all's post-game press conference. Of course they're going to look at it.
Well, yeah, it's the NBA Finals. They're normally you have 50 people looking at, you know, all the teams, 30 teams in the league.
Now you have all those people looking at
two teams.
It's okay. Go ahead.
No, I want to. That's what I'm saying. You're the first Golden State Warrior I've had on here, so I really want to hear this shit. Right?
Now, I'm just saying, I think there was a point made.
So
to talk about it
a
lot.
Yeah, that's what happens in the playoffs.
To really, you know, embellish what had went on.
Embellish? Okay, so and so this is what I'm saying.
Was there any contact made, RJ?
With his groin area? What? No, my point is this. The Steven Adams thing, you guys were down 3-1. Had he been suspended in that game, which Which, look,
that's a different scenario.
But again, that's a different scenario. But Kobe got suspended for doing extra stuff, flinging his arms. I remember he hit Manu in the face, and they ended up suspending Kobe. That was one of those things that, like, there's no, the rule is like when you're doing a little too much. They call it a basketball play, but what we call it is like he's doing a lot of extra shit. Right.
So you're saying that was a makeup call for the Steven Adams?
I'm not saying that. This is what I'm going to say. I'm saying it's a Steven Adams thing. They basically were like, Draymond, no more of this shit. Right. No more. Because if Steven Adams like were to miss a game or something like that, because like he, like someone swipes down the ball and Draymond wants to fling his arm and kick and swing his legs. Like that's extra. Right. That's the extra shit. Mm. No different than what Zsa Zsa Pachulia does. A little extra shit. Right.
Very extra.
Right. Very extra. Right. And so they probably gave him a warning. It was like, dude, you got one more technical and you're going to be suspended, or one more flagrant or whatever. So just, Draymond, eliminate the extra shit. That's I'm guessing. I don't know, but that's probably what was had. So when then that happened again and they see a little swing and a little like, hey, what the fuck, they probably view it as extra shit. Fair?
Might be fair. Might be fair. To me, if you don't suspend them for that, you can't suspend them for what happened in the finals.
But there's an accumulation of things, though. Like, if you give a guy a warning and then he does it again the very next series, there's something similar where it's just too much.
I mean, to me, it was definitive. I mean, the contact made on the first, on the Steven Adams play, yeah, that was definitive, right?
Very definitive.
So if you say, okay, you can't get out a warning. It's either, okay, we're not calling, or you're calling it.
Yeah. No,
so
they say, I agree, yeah.
So they're like, okay, we're not spending you. Then you can't come back because of who it was, which is why I said
it's called a pattern of behavior.
If that wasn't LeBron, is he suspended? And I want you to answer that honestly. If that's, let's say that's Channing. Let's say Draymond and Channing get into it. Is Draymond suspended because what he did to Channing?
Okay. If that was you and Channing, was there even a conversation?
The same play?
Same exact same play.
No, but I'm talking about with Draymond and with Channing.
But are they
even discussing it?
No. I agree. I agree with that, right? 100% agree, right? And so I agree with that. But there's also a pattern of behavior. When you put yourself in this position in a consistent, so you put yourself at the mercy of people like the league. And was it David Stern or Adam Silver? David Stern? Silver. Was it Silver at the time?
Silver.
Yeah.
I never won a championship with Stern. I never really fucked with him. No, I'm just kidding, David. I love you. So, okay. So
let's move on. Okay.
You find out he's suspended, right? Yeah. And it's funny because, like, Clay's like, well, I just think Bron got his feelings hurt. But mind you, remember, I don't know, you know, again, we're basketball historians. So, like, when Timo set that tough screen, he's like, oh, well, I think it was a dirty play. Do you remember when he said that? And then 3 days later, he's like, well, I guess he got his feelings hurt. It's like, wait, Clay, you can't be a hypocrite here. Like, you were just crying about somebody in a dirty play on a screen. On a screen, you're crying, like, you got a dead leg, and now you're calling, like, saying that Bron got his feelings hurt? Like,
I mean, my thing is, the reason why I think those plays are different, and once again, I go back to this, there was no contact made on this play.
On the
Draymond Bron play.
So there was a graze.
A graze.
But you know.
If it was a graze, he would have fell on the floor like he did in Toronto.
In Toronto, I don't really remember.
You don't remember that. You don't remember that. When Tristan bumped into him, he did. He fell on the ground.
Oh yeah, but did he get grazed there?
By his own teammate.
But you know, when
but then he was
the,
flopping.
But listen, everybody knows, like, you know, with the nuts, like, guys like to, like, fuck with their friends and, like, nut tap them. Like, all it takes is that little, just that little nut, that little flinch nut tap, and all of a sudden it's like, all of a sudden you feel that, and you're like, oh, you got me.
I don't know how you do this podcast with him. I'm not going to slow it down, though. I'm not going to slow it down.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let's continue with the story.
Okay, we'll continue with the story.
So you guys
get suspended. What's the conversation on your guys' side? What's the conversation in y'all locker room when you find out that Draymond gets suspended?
I mean, from the strategic standpoint, it's, you know, how do you just make up for that? You know what I'm saying? Because
he's an important player.
Yeah, I mean, just as...
How angry were you guys, though?
I mean, we were pissed. But like I said...
You're up 3-1.
No, it wasn't that, but you have to also look at the people involved with it, right? Look who's talking post-game. You know, okay, not at least, and look into it with even more passion and vigor than what they were already going to do. So it happened, but...
Vigor is a great word, by the way. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're going to... It's not like we were surprised based off who was involved. Yeah. So, you know, it's like figuring out how do you go and, you know, replace Draymond, because it's like, okay, just like you were saying earlier, you know, Clay and Steph are very special together. Well, the chemistry between Steph and Draymond is special too, right? High pick and roll, teams double Steph, Draymond gives it, Draymond's ability to be able to pass, create, all that type of stuff. So, you know, it put us definitely in a tough situation, just not having him. You know, just his presence defensively, our small ball lineup, just, I mean, just a lot of things. That,
you know, he's the glue in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
100%. So.
So that game, game five on the road, right?
No, it was at home.
No, for us. Oh, for us. I don't care about you guys. It's on the road. It's on the road for us.
He's always talking with
the 26 NBA Finals brought to you through the eyes of Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson.
I just want to hear your perspective on some of this shit. So you guys.
But actually, you just can hear mine.
So we have a battle. You guys ball. It's a full-on battle, game five, at your place, right? Like, you guys had only lost, like, four games at home, right? Yeah. And we knew we were going to have to win one. And I'll tell you from our side, this is what it was. No bullshit. We were struggling. Like, that game four loss hurt us a lot. Like, it hurt our spirits because we knew that was – the 1 and 2 games weren't us. Game 3 was us, and then game 4
– you had battled.
We had battled, and then it just didn't go our way. But had we had, like, split one game, like, in Golden State, had we had even put up a fight there, we probably would have felt better. But ultimately, we didn't feel like that was us. So to be down 3-1, it was tough. And I remember saying this, right? Because we beat you guys pretty handily in game 3, right? And I think we beat you by 30. I'm not bragging. I'm just merely saying facts. And so I remember.
Was it 30?
What? It was like 26. It was bad. Like, it was the biggest.
You said 30 facts.
Yeah, it was, you know, biggest turnaround in NBA history from like one loss to one win. And so my whole thing was, and I just got on the plane. I was like, yo, we needed a break and we got a break. We did. We needed a break. We need something to happen for us to give us a fucking, to get us back to life, to have that beep, beep. Because we were flatlining. We were like, beep. We were struggling. So we get a little bit of life. We get a little bit of life, right? And we know our task is still tough. We're going into Golden State. Like, the energy is going to be high. They have a chance. You guys have a chance to win it on your home floor. So Bron and Kyrie just put on something special, like 82 points between the two of them, right? Yeah. Those guys are special. Kyrie, my guy, like a 40-point performance. First two teammates to go for 40 in a game. But that's what it took. Think about it.
I mean, I'm having a conversation with Elias over here.
It's the happiest moment of my life. Like, I remember details, okay?
And last but not least, it is one of our most downloaded episodes since day one of Road Trippin'. It is the one episode that even months later, as I listened back, made me laugh so hard I hurt and hurt so bad I cried. From all the laughing, of course. Sitting down with PB&J, aka LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, or rather riding on their banana boat, to shark diving and living life on the edge. We close out the 2017-2018 NBA regular season podcast style that was, with all we know, pure comedy. We hope you have enjoyed the ride, although, as PB&J take over now, I shall probably say, good luck. The ride, it's just beginning.
Let's talk about what everybody wants to talk about. What happened on that banana boat?
Was it everybody? Is it just you?
Everybody wants to know. At what point did y'all say, you know what, this might not be the best idea?
I said it from the beginning. By the way,
listen, first of all, he did. We talked about this already.
We talked about it on Rachel Nichols.
We
talked about Rachel Nichols.
No, he was like, this is not a good idea. Listen, Jelly definitely said, this is not a good idea, y'all. Now, we got one friend who is the biggest gasser ever, and that's Chris Paul. Wherever we go, if it's like climb the Mount Kilimanjaro, he's like, we got him. We gotta do it.
Yeah.
And all you get is a string to hang off of the side of the mountain. He's like, we gotta do it. If we don't do it, it make no sense for us to be here. So he was the one who gasses. Then Gab was like, we gotta do it. Cause she wanna do it. We gotta do it. And then if you don't do it, Gab, like, y'all some punks, y'all some bitches.
Give me one banana boat by myself.
Listen, Gab don't play. Listen, she don't play.
Yeah.
And listen.
So then Brian was like.
So I was like, D-Wade.
Come on, bro.
We got to do it. I can't do it. And if I'm you like, you know, that's my guy.
Why are we doing it?
I'm like, it's fun. I did it before. Remember I did it before. It's fun. We just got to make sure. And this is what I told everybody because nobody had done it but me. When the boat turns, if we don't sway on the same side of the boat turn, we're going to get fucked up. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Everybody, you know, when you tell people that, you know, grown-ups and kids or whatever, they all give you the same face.
Okay. Yeah.
And we were good. We were good.
We was rolling, baby. We was out there. We was like, this is life.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the boat went left. We went left. We was like, you know them little, you be in an arcade.
Yeah.
And they got that motorcycle.
You lean with it.
And the goal said, you lean.
But everybody got to lean the same way. One person go the other way.
Yeah, and that's what happened. That damn boat went right.
The boat turned quick.
I would totally be that person. That boat went right.
And you got one person that's looking over at a boat over here. And we all leaning right and someone like this.
Listen, we fell so fast.
Oh, you fell?
Oh, in the water.
Oh, you fell?
No, we fell so fast. Like,
so fast.
Bodies smacking everything. Just
And you're, listen, you're flying. The boat that's carrying this banana boat is moving through the water.
Yeah,
so when you hit the water, it's like this.
Cement.
Yep.
Right into the water. Smack. Oh. Ain't no like, you can't, it's not like you can like leverage yourself and jump and like.
No.
It's like.
You go eat that water.
We got on that banana boat one time and we known as the banana boat crew.
One time.
You knew it though, right?
No. I knew it was trouble.
You knew it was trouble, but you had no idea.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the worst thing that happened on our vacation, okay?
Where were you?
We was in the Bahamas.
At this time, we was in the Bahamas somewhere.
Like 7 hours away from the Bahamas.
So this is the worst thing that happened on our vacation.
Oh, Lord.
So back to Chris Paul, daredevil Chris Paul. So Chris Paul come up with this idea that he wants to go to the top of the yacht and jump off, right?
Oh, no.
So me and Brian like, no, don't look like a good idea. We're not doing it. So a couple of days, Melo comes in a little later because they had some things going on. And he comes in and they say, hey, guys, how about we greet Melo by jumping off the yacht? I was like, why? Once again.
And the yacht is what? Like.
Peer pressure.
It's like 45, 55 feet up. I mean, like an air.
It's up there.
So it's a tiny yacht.
So look, it's up there.
It's the one you rent like at the hotel.
Yeah, exactly. So, the one that you can actually carry by yourself.
So we go up to the top and they say, hey, don't look over because if you look down, you're not going to jump.
You ain't going to do it.
So they like, Melo is coming in on a boat. The tender. Melo and Lyle, they're coming in.
That goes inside the other boat that we're in.
So CP like, we got to go. So CP jump. Boom. He gone. I don't see. All I know is he gone. So Brian like, come on, D. We got to do it. Brian go. Now it's just me. I'm like, fuck.
I'm like, listen.
You can't be the last one.
You can't not do it.
See, when you're nervous, you forget all instructions.
I forget everything.
When you jump, you have to put your feet down and your hands to your side.
That's what they told me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you smacked your arm?
What?
What?
I was going down. But it was, listen, I was in the air for 3 hours. I was just talking to myself like, why did you do this? What is wrong with you?
You got the go-go in flight.
Oh, my God. I hit that water so hard.
He had all type of welts on his forearms. He had welts on his forearms. His ass was hurting, bro. Because he didn't, like, tuck his toes down. I'm like, you don't listen, man. He's like, I told you I didn't want to do this shit.
Bro, when I jumped, I get angry, right? When I jumped, I thought I had it. This is what they said. But after a while, it started getting scary. I was like,
like that was
boom.
He thought it was a bird. He tried to fly back up on the boat.
Yeah, that was the worst.
Yeah, that was. Worst.
Overall, life was over.
Overall, it was a great trip, though.
How would you characterize your group?
Our group? Yeah. Our four?
Is there like a movie that has like Sandlot or a movie that has...
have you seen
youngsters?
Sandlot?
I have seen Sandlot. That you could be like, I am this guy.
No, we're more like
Anchorman. 100%, y'all crew is like Anchorman.
Loud noises.
We're not like Anchorman. We don't
100%.
Have a. No, we're not like Anchorman.
You got a Ron Burgundy. You got a sports dude. Then you got I forgot their names.
No, we don't have a. I don't know if we have a like.
I don't know. That's a good question.
No, we don't.
Everybody in Anchorman is hilarious.
We're like four brothers, I guess. You ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Andre 3000.
Wahlberg.
Oh, wait. Mark Wahlberg, Tyrese.
Wait, the one Tyrese said they about to do a remake.
Oh, yeah, four brothers.
Tyrese said they about to
do a remake. Or we more like the town. Gangsters.
Ooh.
Four of us.
We ain't gangsters. I ain't no gangster, bro. Right. I don't want no
parts. Yeah, it's one of them that didn't want to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
That's me. Yeah. I'm out.
I'm a gangster. What's
up? I was
so CP is the daredevil. He's the one that always.
CP is the daredevil.
LeBron's like he's like the older brother. He's, you know what I mean? He's the one got to.
But
make
he
sure
left
everything.
You.
Yeah, but I won't do
yourself.
Yeah, but I won't do everything. But like what CP say, okay, now we won't do everything CP says. Now he goes a little.
He's a regular sized human being.
No, he's crazy.
Wait a minute. I got another story. Do you remember we went jet skiing, right? All four of us went jet skiing.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
We were jet skiing for a long time. Long time. Way over my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right? We're going so far out that I'm like, this ain't good, guys. Like, we can't see nothing.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you are
so,
me.
No. So, look. It was one point where they was like, yo, let's go over to that island.
Nah.
We was on our way over that island. Our jet skis was going like this. I turned my black self around.
We turned around.
Me and CP and Brian and Mello was gone. Me and CP turned around like, no way.
Yeah, Mello gets on that water. He's crazy on the water.
They turned around. Me and CP was going back to the boat. It was crazy.
No, we was out far.
The jet skis was over like this every turn.
We was getting close to the sharks.
We was too far, bro.
What scares you about that? The fact that you could be ate by a shark?
No, we was going to die.
Close to the sharks.
We was about to die.
We was getting close to
and
the
I
man.
And I wasn't letting us die.
We was getting close to the man-eating sharks.
The great whites are like, come on over here.
No, they was over us. There.
Two for one on dark meat.
We start getting
two
for one on dark meat. We start getting too daredevilish, though.
Yeah, they saw dark meat. They was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big dummies.
Come on.
Come on, you big dummies.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Remember we ended up on like this little sand and we couldn't get the jet ski out of the sand?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we went up on like the sand out. We just like sat there for like an hour just reflecting.
Yeah, just reflecting. Oh, no.
And then when it was time for us to leave, I don't know. It was one of the four jet skis we could not get out. And it's hard to pull because you slide in the sand trying to get it out the sand and you're sinking into
the
water.
Into the water, yeah.
So,
are you guys on like two-seaters or three-seaters?
No, you guys got
your own.
You got an individual.
I know, but
oh, yeah, you can have someone behind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can have somebody get on behind. Like two-seaters.
Yeah. Listen, Allie.
Well, I'm just saying there's a three-seater.
No. They're not on cheap jet skis.
No, three-seaters ain't dangerous.
T.O., why has it got to be cheap?
What that mean?
I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that there is a difference.
T.O., time out.
I thought it was
T.O., 22nd. There is a difference between – that's T.H.
Oh.
What's that?
What's TH?
I said T.O. I said Tim Hortons. my bad. Shout out Toronto.
Tim Orton?
Tim Orton?
No. Jeannie, I'm not going to let you punk me like this.
I'm not punking
there,
you.
Yes, you are. There is a difference between a two-seater jet ski and a three-seater.
Right.
Okay? I don't care if you can put someone on the back or not, but when you're taking on wake, then it's scary.
That's fine.
It is very scary.
The bigger the jet ski, the more dangerous it is. Though.
You think
like,
so?
I think the two seater is like it handles a little bit better. Yeah.
Yes.
You get to like three seats. Yeah. The fact if you could put three people on a jet ski, y'all shouldn't be on the water.
Should be in a boat. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Like
okay. Now y'all trying to save okay. Y'all, just
so
y'all
what about, to, what about when we took our boat? Another crazy part that me and Brian didn't get a part of. What about when we took our boat to where those sharks was?
Oh, yeah.
And it's called what? Chummy? No, not Chummy. Well, that's what they did at the boat. But whatever. It's a part in the Bahamas where you go and you jump in the water where the sharks are.
We're already docked 7 hours away from Atlantis.
No, you're crazy.
Where we went?
In Azuma, yeah.
We're 7 hours away from Atlantis. You got to take a boat 7 hours.
No.
In order to see these sharks, you got to go another 2 hours out in the water.
Nah.
Because and you did that with your jet skis?
No. We went on a tender.
Oh,
but you know, not like a small tender, but like a nice size boat.
Nerve sharks. Yeah.
No.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
No, Ramos.
That's what they say. That's what people normally say.
Not the place where you go with the nerve sharks. No, we went out in the water where the water is now deep navy blue, like dark navy blue.
You don't see.
And all you do is take the food out of the bucket and you just throw it in the water. You throw it in the water.
Nerve shark.
That's what they say.
That's not what they say. You could get in the water with those.
Yeah, these are, man, but listen, no, this is like little dog sharks.
I know what you're talking about. You could get in the water with those.
They don't even got teeth, man. What is this?
Man, listen, first of all, the shark going to go shark on you and put his teeth in.
But by the way.
They got no teeth.
By the way, Tony, let me tell you a story. Our guide has an underwater camera and was taking pictures for us, and the nerve shark tried to grab – went to grab the camera, and they don't have teeth, but with their suction, when he sucked back, pause.
When they sucked back?
When the nerve shark grabbed his hand, he pulled skin off his hand.
Ooh, gross.
And his hand was bleeding. So now you definitely got to get out the water.
No, I ain't with that.
Wait a second, I'm kicking whose hand?
Off our guide that
he had his hand in the water.
Yeah, because he's taking pictures underwater.
They don't have teeth, right?
They don't have teeth. In the water. But the suction, when he grabbed his hand, He came back off his hand, and his hand was bleeding. He was like, I got to get up.
Now no, you better get out of the
but
water.
Listen, when we pulled, all okay, out. So this is not ass. This is not funny, huh? But this was another reason why I wasn't getting in. When we pulled up to the area,
yeah,
a person got out of the water with one leg. At this point, I'm already flustered. listen. At this point, I'm already flustered, and I'm not getting in. But that just further let me know that I'm not getting in there.
Where are you going?
I'm not lying.
Don't you ever just want to live life on the edge?
No, not that edge. No. I want to see my kids grow up.
No.
We work too damn hard.
Listen, I don't like going down two stairs at a time.
Kenny, yeah. nigga turn sideways.
I walk down the stairs.
That nigga said, oh shit, my feet too big.
I was trying to walk down the plane stairs regular, but my feet too big.
No, you. Turn sideways. I wear 18. What do you think? Don't let there be any type of moisture on that. I fell one time. I said, never again. Yeah. Hey, sideways. Allie, we used to do it in dress shoes
back in the day. When you grow up, the way I grew up and the way I grew up. Channing, shut your mouth.